everyone, and welcome to the very first Brand Next podcast. Thank you so much for joining. I'm really excited to have you all here. I'm so thankful for all of you that have been subscribing to the newsletter in anticipation of the podcast, subscribing to the newsletter for what I've been writing. I'm really overwhelmed by the response that I've been getting, and I just hope that I can deliver, and that I do deliver. I've got a lot planned over the next few weeks, but I'm really excited right now today to introduce a conversation that I had recently with Diego Borgo. Diego, some of you might know from his Discord community, from his LinkedIn, from all the work that he does with brands. He's all over the place at the moment, working with so many people, helping to drop NFT projects, helping to bring brands into the space. And most recently, he launched a class with Nas Academy, which he was kind enough to share a discount code with this community. So if you wanted to participate, this community wound up with a discount in that class, and I can't thank Diego enough for his generosity. He is generous in so many ways, and in this conversation that we're going to be sharing today, he's just generous with knowledge, and he made this such an easy first podcast. Genuinely, my job came down to asking a few questions, and then the knowledge that he shared and the experience that he has provides so much. So I thank you, and I really don't want to stand in the way of that conversation any longer than I have to. I'm really excited to introduce Diego, and I look forward to having lots of conversations with everyone in the future. So let's get on to it. Let's see what Diego has to say. Thank you, everyone.
Hello, and welcome, Diego. Thank you so much for joining us. This is, I think, going to be the first episode that I've got. Not, I think this is the first episode that I'm running of the new podcast, and I'm really honored to have you on board for episode number one. I know everybody wants to hear what you have to say. I know that you've got a community of people that are following you. You've got classes. You're talking to brands. You are the man on the move. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate being the first, and congrats on a new project. I'm stoked to see what comes next. I mean, you can just get better from here, right?
It's been an adventure. I mean, I started this project of writing a newsletter just thinking that nobody's really talking to brands. Everybody was only talking about NFT prices or talking about token prices, but no one was actually talking about use cases for brands. And so I started this newsletter, and I'm just amazed, even though I don't publish very often, I'm amazed at the response that I'm getting. And so I know that the topic of what are the use cases, what should brands be doing, is what people want to hear. And there's no one better to talk to about that than you. So I really appreciate your joining number one.
I've been a subscriber for a while, so I appreciate your work too.
You're a good man. Thank you. I think what I'd love to hear, and listen, you're obviously the man on the move right now, but it would be great to hear what got you started. I would love to hear, like, what was the moment where Diego went, Web3, NFTs, this is where I want to be, because you're putting a lot into it, and what made that kind of switch for you?
Yeah, so I've been consulting brands for the last 8 years, right? So I've been working a lot with brands on digital marketing, digital strategy, and all that aspect of it. I've been in blockchain and crypto since 2017. So, you know, I've been following the use cases, exactly what you just said. You know, when I first got into it, it was not about investment, was not about reading charts, was not about trying to make a buck, was really trying to understand the technology and the usability of the technology when it comes to real world use case that can potentially be used in a manner that can change the world for better. So that's what got me into it back then. But then cryptocurrencies and blockchain are just so technical. One, cryptocurrencies back then, and still today, a lot of it is just connected to investment, and people are, like, you know, trying to make money or losing depending on how you go. And blockchain was just extremely technical. You know, it's a new technology. We are, like, about 10 years after, you know, we're 10 years into it. So it's been really technical and really developed by technical people for technical people, right? So devs and people that are really deep into coding. And that didn't really resonate with my brain, because I've been working since I was 16 with, you know, creative agencies or clients on both sides, but really focused on marketing. So I've been sitting on, you know, with creative directors, I've been sitting with agencies, developing concepts, developing go-to-market strategies, developing how we launch projects and products. So all of that didn't really resonate with my creative side of my brain. But then, you know, in April 2021, you know, a little bit more than a year from now, I got first presented to NFTs. And then everything I've been studying and learning and getting introduced since 2017 from a blockchain perspective just made so much more sense for me with the layer of NFTs into it. Because now we're talking about culture, we're talking about music, we're talking about art, we're talking about, you know, brand, we're talking about, you know, entertainment, we're talking about collectibles. So all of those aspects just made so much more sense to me, because now you're adding a layer of culture mainly to it that will help and is the actual Trojan horse for blockchain technology going mainstream. So that's kind of like, that was my aha moment. I won't lie and say, hey, I got it firsthand. I didn't. You know, when my friend presented me, Ben White, shout out to him, when he brought me in front of his apes collection, you know, he had some Bored Apes and he was like, dude, you gotta get into it, it's the future. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, it's a grand for a photo of an ape. I can just right click save it, right? I can just screenshot it. So I understand the struggle that people are having right now, because I had a struggle about a year ago. So I passed on Bored Apes, right? I wasn't like, oh yeah, for sure, I got this thing, it went there and bought 100 and I'm a millionaire. No, I passed on it because I couldn't understand. You know, I passed on Bitcoin when it was $400, when I first heard of it in 2014, and thought it was a Ponzi and a scam, and I passed on that too. But what is interesting within the space is the way you can win is by sticking around. And I learned that by passing on Bitcoin early. I learned that on, you know, I had about 10 Bitcoins back in the day, and I just swapped that into all alt and shit coins because I believed on the others, and they went south and I lost money. But I stuck around, you know, and now with NFTs, I'm like, I passed on Bored Apes, but that was just the beginning. So there's much more that I can still do from here, right? And that's what clicked. That was the moment, you know, for me, you know, when art or when creativity meets technology is when we create a renaissance, right? And for me, that's exactly what's happening. And by technology, I don't mean like lines of code or screens. I mean, new ways or new mediums of communicating, right? So that's what for me was like, it's a clear moment in history that there is a renaissance. It's happening right under our watch, and I cannot let that go.
And if this is the renaissance, then as you consult with more brands, do you see all the brands as kind of the Medici families coming in who may be able to actually accelerate, help people with adoption, move that forward? I mean, that's the analogy that I look at all the time. I'm just, brands have that power right now.
Yeah, I get, especially on my degen side, my degen friends, I get questioned a lot, right? Because crypto and blockchain comes from this very, you know, anarchist or, you know, political type of mentality, which is we are creating, you know, a parallel system to the global economy because we don't trust in the man anymore. We don't want to work with the man. So we're creating that parallel system, right? Which, you know, is counterculture, goes against the system, goes on building like a side. And that's where like the real, you know, the real essence of cryptocurrencies come from, right? And that transmitted to NFTs, because the early adopters of NFTs, which I am not one of them, right? They are like in 2017, they were coming from that cryptocurrency background as well, and they brought that mentality into NFTs. And that mentality is still around. So when I'm telling my degen friends that I'm working with brands, they're like, oh, you're working with the man now. Why are you helping Corp? And I'm like, you're not getting the big picture. Right now on like crypto Twitter or NFT Twitter, if we take all the bots out, we might end up being like 2,000 people that are shouting at each other the same message. And we're just keeping like swapping JPEGs around and thinking we're going to make it. And we won't, because the only way we all going to make it is with mainstream adoption. And one of the biggest and fastest way of bringing mainstream adoption to this technology is working with brands and ensuring that they do it right. So that's what I'm doing, right? So I'm working with one of the largest brands out there, or, you know, a few of the largest brands out there in the world, Fortune 500, Fortune 100, whatever, also mid-range brands, also small brands, also Web3 founders. So my goal within the work I'm doing right now is to be that guy in the room that at least can raise what I think this space should be going towards, you know? And, you know, like, and if they do it right, imagine the power of, you know, Instagram now that has added NFTs to their app as a feature. Imagine the power if that's done right and their whole user base start understanding the power of NFTs and the new creator economy. Imagine how powerful that's going to be to bring more eyes, more wallets, digital wallets, I mean, more collectors, more creators within the space. And that's exactly why I'm working with brands, you know? So the conversation with brands has shifted a lot the last 6 months, you know? Everyone at the beginning was like, okay, how do we do a PFP? You know, like, how do we do a profile project? How do we get a collectible there? And now brands are taking a step back and they're like, okay, how do we create an entire new way within this medium to communicate, connect with consumers, but also enhance consumer experience? And I'm like, fuck yeah, now we're talking, right? So it's moving quick. Brands are getting upskilled very quick and they see the opportunity and there are excitement within these rooms, you know, from managers all the way up to CMOs. Everybody's paying attention. So that's what's exciting.
Well, that's a million times better than walking into the room and having them look at you like an alien and needing to convince them that that actually there's a vision here. Because I think we both walked into the room at times when you're the alien. I know that's
I still do.
Well, you've got a PFP that is an alien, so there you go. I mean, you've got that going for you. but no, seriously, when the question that I'd ask is, you know, when you talk to brands, when you walk in, this isn't like marketing projects of the past where, you know, what are we going to do? We just need to buy on a new media channel and that's that. I'm in control of my own destiny. This involves the treasury teams. This involves compliance. This involves so many different parts of a business. You know, when you talk to them, how do you get them to understand the scope? What are the barriers that you tend to hit? And, you know, can you share any secrets of how you get people to get past those barriers?
Absolutely. So there are different conversations. So there's different size of organizations. There are different levels of knowledge. There is different level of involvements and there is different level or, you know, ideas or goals or targets, right? But the average conversation I have, you know, people know more than what you would expect. You know, so people understand a lot already about the basics, which is a huge movement. You know, if you understand the basics of what we are talking about right now, you might be within this range of 5% of people in humanity in all over the world right now that understands what we're talking about, right? So that's already like very small and very niche. That's why we are so early. But there is an understanding, you know, which is much more than what I would expect. What still not bothers me, but what still holds me back a little bit from being like 1,000,000,000% bullish is that most of my conversations are happening within marketing and social media departments. So my dream, and that happened lately when I was talking to the Volkswagen Group in upskilling call we had, is to start having other people from other part of the organization, because then it gets exciting. So, you know, you get people from like engineering department, you know, research and development, you know, other parts of the business that will be looking into how to implement this technology to enhance consumer experience or to enhance their product. That's what is, you know, that's why I want to be. But just going back a little bit to your point on the barriers, there is a very clear pattern every single time I enter in the room, we start from the same way. So the first thing is lack of education, right? So people are like, oh, we don't really understand what this is about. Can we help us to sort of like grasp a little bit better the little we know? So, you know, I start trying to like understand with them what is the current knowledge and what we need to, you know, lean into to go a little bit deeper. So education is the first thing, right? There's always an issue there. Majority of the conversations I'm having, usually my top funnel is, you know, you go there and give a talk, an hour and a half on different things. And it's usually a conversation like this. And then from there onwards, we might start working together either on a strategy or an advisory base. The second thing is sustainability, which is huge, right? So if you follow mainstream media, the conversation around blockchain technology and NFTs is basically, the headline is, every time you mint an NFT, you kill a polar bear, right? It's extremely one-sided, it's extremely, focused on the extremes, and there's a lot of like lack of truth or lack of perspective within those conversations, right? I never will deny the negative impact that proof of work has on the environment because of the amount of energy that demands. I'll never deny that. But you also need to put think into perspective, because if you think about any cloud-based system that we use, like this call right now, those things are also running on servers. Those servers also demand energy, right? So there is a couple elements to look into it where we can put into perspective, but I don't want to go too deep into it because there's so many things, one, I don't know, but also that we can talk about it for hours. So sustainability is the second thing. And then, you know, the way I go around is usually, one, showing the possibilities of using different chains. You can go for proof of stake, for example. There's Flow, there's Solana, there is, several others, Polygon. There's many, many other solutions out there. Flow is a good example that was, designed for brands, for IP holders, and quote unquote designed to be greener. So, I also start talking and going and showing different directions. There is its fallbacks, as everything else, right? Ethereum has several issues when it comes to, sustainability and scaling. But then on the other hand is the place where you have the majority of the liquidity and the majority of people trading, and you have a lot of volume there. But then you go to other chains, which are much smaller. You have all the good aspects of it. They are scalable, they have small fees. When it comes to transaction, they are more greener, but then there's not so much, trade volume, or there's not so much liquidity on that side. So I always try to like show, the differences. That's sustainability. And then the other aspect, which you touched briefly before, is legal, treasury, corporate, and all those, interesting elements, which is, one, how do you onboard those people as early as possible? Because they are key and they are important and they should be part of, the overall conversation from day one. But two, how do you, find the right commitment to take risks in a manner that, they aren't as large or as risky as they would be, because if you think that you're going to come into this space and you're not taking any risk by doing so, you're wrong, because, innovation is based on taking risks, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know many, many things within the space, but what you can make sure to do is to have the right team in place that can give you the guardrails to say, okay, left is a bit riskier and right is a bit safer, but both of them still risky and we can still get in troubles, So having that mentality and getting those people in the room to be with you, to help you being safer, but also being open mind to take risks is a challenge, right? Because those people or those departments tend to be risk adverse because that's what they do for business, right? But, if we don't take risk, we cannot innovate.
And do you think when you talk to brands, are you seeing lots of them start to create specialty divisions so that they can hedge that risk, so that they have those experts all in one place? Or do you think that this is something that's going to live kind of across the organization? Is there a pattern that you're starting to see with the brands who are serious, the brands who are really leaning in?
There is a pattern. So there are usually two ways. One is they create a task force or, smaller teams where they sort of like, gather the people that they think should be within that conversation and within that room, a very specific set of skills that, will help that going forward. And that includes legal, treasury, corporate, and other departments, for example. Or depending on how much they want to go deep into it, they are outsourcing to firms that are already, a little bit more knowledgeable, or that can take some of the liability out of their hands. So, that's where you bring like lawyers, for example, that are focused on IP, or, lawyers that understand more about the space, because again, it's something extremely new. There's no playbook, but also because the space is such an interesting global phenomenon, laws are different around the globe, right? So if you have a shop in London, but you are a global brand, that shop, the laws of, you know, the UK will be applied to that specific shop. But now if you mint an NFT that someone in China can buy with a VPN, even though China is, you know, blocking, prohibiting, however you want to put it, you know, NFT trade or purchase or sell or creation, like, how do you go about it as a brand? You know, so you can obviously write on your FAQ or something like that, that, you know, those countries are cannot participate, so you take out your liability, but people will still do, right? So there's a lot of like aspects that obviously I'm not an expert on because that's not my field of expertise, but I see those patterns of conversations, you know, of like how we go about launching something, one, digital, and secondly, global, that we can control, and which laws apply to it, right? Like, how does that work? So that's definitely, you know, the way that I see the trends going. And then either they have a strong team in-house that's committed and interested in developing and learning more, or they go about getting, you know, external partners to help them moving forward.
And just sticking with risk, because I think it's really interesting, because I mean, we've seen the whole market take a pretty steep turn, whether it's NFTs, whether it's cryptocurrency, we've definitely seen prices go down. Are you seeing nervousness? Like when you talk to brands, are they a bit more risk averse because of all of that? Are you seeing a slowdown? I mean, we talk, and when I look at the community, everybody's leaning in, and it's builders are going to build, but are brands leaning in the same way and saying this is our moment to drive adoption, or are you seeing people pull back?
Again, education, right? I think majority of the people I'm talking with, they don't even understand. Like, you know, we are deep into the space of like, oh yeah, like if it's going down and oh, my portfolio, and like, they don't understand and they are not deep into it. And that's what's exciting, because they're building for the long term. So, you know, what I see is, again, brands are leaning into it. And especially, you know, the trend I'm seeing, and I think Q3 is going to be really hot, because majority of the brands I'm working with, they're like, yeah, we're going to launch in Q3. We're going to launch in Q3. And I talk to friends and partners and people that are executing with brands as well. And you're nodding your head. They're like, we're going to launch in Q3. Yeah. So, you know, like, I think that the market situation that we currently are at, whether that's going to take a couple months to recover or a couple years, as it did from 2018 to almost 2020, I think they don't care. I think what they are building is not necessarily connected with, you know, the short gains of crypto volatility, but rather, you know, the brand equity gain, also the ROI. But this ROI is a lot of times measured in fiat, because again, they're not interested on the volatility. So, you know, you can do a checkout with credit card that people can pay in dollar, US, yen, euro, whatever it is. So I think they're not concerned about it. So I haven't even seen those conversations. You know, what conversations that are happening is right now the right moment to launch something. That's different, right? Okay, should we wait a little bit more? Should we, you know, use this time to flesh out things a little bit better as well? Or should we just go out right now and don't care? That's a conversation I'm having. But, you know, they're not like, oh, you know, you think crypto is dead? I haven't got to that type of conversation.
No, listen, that's fantastic. I mean, hearing you say that, it's music to my ears, because honestly, I love that the community leans in and they're like, build, this is the time for building. A bear market is a build market. I love that kind of anthem that seems to exist in the community at the moment. Yeah. But it's even better to hear that brands look at it and go, actually, this isn't the issue. The issue is, are we at a critical point where it's good enough for us to launch for our consumer, which is what we should be asking. Is this good enough to solve a real problem for a consumer? Is this good enough? And that's the exciting part of this. Listen, on top of all of this, you talk with people, let's talk about some of the side projects that you have, because you're doing more things than I can imagine. I don't know where you find the time, but you've got the brands you're talking to. You've launched Right Click Save As a Discord community, and you've got your course, which is dropping soon, which hopefully Hopefully everybody's signing up for it, but I'm super excited about it. I look on Discord, I sit on the servers all the time. I'm going to different NFT communities, and honestly, there's so much bots, there's so much fraud, and you've launched something that seems to have a great vibe of positivity around it and really a learning culture. And I don't know the people who are there. You're interacting with them, but I'd love to know, just how have you managed to do this? Who are the type of people who you're seeing in that community, and how do people get to be a part of that community? Because it's amazing what you're building.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So a couple things, let's unpack. The first question is what I'm doing. There's sort of like three pillars. The first one is brands. So, you know, working with brands, advising brands, consulting, as we just spoke about. So that's a tick. The second one is I work a lot with NFT native projects and Web3 founders, and also like new metaverse platforms or companies that are leaning heavily in building the metaverse. So that's sort of like the second pillar, and there's where I keep my knife sharp, right? So with the big brands, I play the corp and the big strategy game, but you know, the learning there is not as much as it is within the Web3 space, where people were literally at the edge of technology. So that's a second pillar. Then the third pillar is education, where you know, leads towards what you just mentioned. So I'm taking part in conference, I'm organizing conference. You know, we threw the first NFT Latin conference in it was online, but you know, was based in for Latin. So we translated into Portuguese and to Spanish. We brought local talents, but also international talents to talk with the community to bridge the gap, because a lot of the conversations happening within the US and Europe right now, and I want to make sure that community is also getting out of it, something out of it, right? We're doing now Meet AMS, which is going to be, the first Metaverse festival in Europe, expecting about 1.5 to 2,000 people a day there for 4 days, all for the normies, right? It's for brands, it's for agencies, it's for people that don't understand what's going on. We're not doing tech talk or any of it. It's literally about culture, music, art, how your brand can get into it and all of it. Then the masterclass, right? I literally just got back from Dubai. I was there shooting a masterclass for the whole week. And, I put everything I have in there. I gave everything I know, you know, every single thing. I gave my frameworks, I gave my checklist, I gave my knowledge. I brought, firsthand experience. So it's not about the stuff I'm reading and the conversations I'm having. Is about the brands I'm working with, the case studies with projects I'm working with. I give it all, and I have nothing back. So, you know, now it's going to be interesting how that's going to play out. But I think, you know, I truly believe that the only way we're going to achieve WAGMI, right, we're all going to make it, is by helping each other and, you know, supporting each other. And that's what I truly believe. And that's why I put everything out as well. The community. So it was a bit of like a move from me, which I haven't thought much through, because, you know, I just wanted to get some safe space where people could interact a bit deeper than on LinkedIn. You know, my main work has been on LinkedIn, because while everybody's on NFT Twitter using the crazy lingo and talking in a manner that nobody understands and feel, you know, quite honestly afraid to come in because it's just so alien to a majority of the people, I wanted to translate that, put that into LinkedIn and get people that are interested but have no idea where to start with, to be there for them and to give them, you know, an opportunity to learn as well and to feel welcome. So that's why I do what I do on LinkedIn. I spend a lot of my time in there. And that's why I create a community, so people can go deeper on those relationships. And the value proposition of the community is basically, creating a safe space where Web2 professionals can meet Web3 founders and creators and, you know, help each other to bridge the gap from both sides. Because, you know, a lot of Web3 founders don't have the Web2 knowledge from branding, marketing, developing or other things, copywriting, designing and all of it. And in the other hand, you have Web2 professionals that want to scale up to Web3, but they don't know where to start. They don't have the knowledge. So that's the overall idea. It's all around education, it's all around networking, and it's all for professionals. So I think that I am tapping into a niche that not so many people have done before. And because the whole, you know, tonality of what I put out there is we will help each other, and there is paying forward, and it's all about, you know, how we can grow together as a community. And it's going to be invite only, you know, it's going to be niched down to, you know, 1,000, 1,200 people. And we see how we go from there once the community is strong. That was the original idea, and that's where we're headed, you know. So one thing that I'm ensuring to do is that every project I work with, I'm adding, you know, my community have to have an advantage on this project as well. So I want to bring, you know, early access. I want to bring giveaways. I want to bring special access to the community, because I'm standing behind those projects because I believe on them. So, you know, and I bring that to my community because I believe on the projects I'm working with. And, you know, I want to give them the opportunity to be part of it before anybody else. So I think that, you know, those elements, which I try to keep, you know, very true to myself as well, are ways I think that people are understanding what it's about, you know. And I think it's really exciting to see people connecting. Now people are going to meet in Amsterdam, people are going to meet in New York, you know, and so many people texting me back that, hey, I just met someone that lives in my city that I didn't know was in the space. I thought I was the only one. And now we're hanging out, and now we're having like side events, you know, and how amazing is that? You know, and I just wanted to give the platform.
While I was in LA.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, these connections are happening because of that. So I think it's fantastic. I think you're dropping so much wisdom that it is fantastic. And what I love about what you're doing is as you say, you know, the way we scale is by sharing this wisdom, sharing these learnings, and we have the tools to do it. So I think people are going to be lucky who participate in your class. If you've put everything in there, man, there's going to be some good wisdom in there for everybody. So, but you got me curious. You got to tell us, what are the projects that you're really excited about? Like, give us a hint as to what you've got going on, or just some of your favorite projects, even if you're not involved, but the things that you look at and you just, that's fire.
Yeah. So let's put three out there. Two that I'm part of and one that I'm not. And I really wish I would, but I'm not. So the two first ones that I'm involved in. In case you're watching. two of them. Nemos, obviously, has been one that, you know, for who doesn't know it, is Nemos.earth has been the project I'm the most vocal on. And, you know, is one of the very first projects I joined after I left Adidas by end of last year. So very, very short, very briefly, and I'm going to butcher it. But, you know, Nemos basically is a project aimed at using Web3 technology, you know, decentralized organizations, decentralized finance mechanics, tokenomics, NFTs, you know, smart contracts, all of it. Blockchain technology, obviously, to protect and conserve the Amazon forest, specifically right now in Brazil. You know, it speaks very close to my heart because I am from Brazil. So, you know, that's kind of like where I see even more the connection. So all we're doing there is we purchase 40,000 hectares of land in the middle of the Amazon forest, and we're using all this technology to protect and conserve the area, not just fauna and flora, but we are also looking at how we can get together with the digital community, right? So people that are purchasing the NFTs and being part of our Discord and community in general, how can we get those people to help us, one, upscaling, but two, also finding a new way on which the people that live right beside this plot that we purchase, which is 25,000 people in one of the most remote areas in Brazil, how can we help them, you know, to find new ways and socioeconomics to help us decelerating, you know, deforestation within the area. So if you zoom out in the Amazon, you have almost 20 to 30 million people living in the Amazon. And very few people understand that concept, right? So you have like, let's say 25 to 30 million people living in the middle of the Amazon forest. And this is one of the main issues as well, because if people don't have means of supporting and sustaining themselves financially, they have two options. Either they cut trees and sell it for, you know, producing products, or they clear cut to, you know, raise cattle and stuff like that. That's what's causing deforestation. And if they don't have another way of supporting themselves, what should they do, right? And that's where Nemus is also coming into place, is understanding how we can tap into that opportunity and, you know, bring people to blockchain cryptocurrencies, but also get the digital community and put together the local community to take decisions on how to develop the land and the area. So that's one. I'm really passionate. That's the rabbit hole. There is nothing I see that can go deeper than that so far when it comes to Web3 technology. And this goes totally against the narrative that NFTs and blockchain technology are destroying the world. You know, it shows the opposite. It shows how we can use this technology to create positive impact and hopefully change the future of sustainability and climate change. So that's one. The next one, which I'm really excited of, is it's the Fabricant. So, you know, I work close with the Fabricant, and I love the team. I've been working with them prior all the stuff when they were still an agency, and they worked with Adidas in a couple campaigns, and I worked with them on a few of them. And the very interesting aspect for me of the Fabricant is that they do digital only products, right? So they're never going to do physical products. That's one aspect. But then there are two things they're tapping into that I'm really excited about. One is their last partnership with World of Women, where they are splitting the royalties, you know, with the community and with the creators, not just with the people that hold an NFT and are going there and forging a product or whatever, but also with the designer, the person that is, you know, creating the actual digital fabric. Obviously World of Women is a project, and obviously, you know, the Fabricant taking a cut, and they're taking like 10% out of it, right? So this is so exciting, because now you're looking into the new creator economy, where the Fabricant has this goal, and I love it, which is be the company that's going to dress up everyone in the metaverse, you know, 5 years from now. And they are shifting the business model and the creator economy within this space in a manner that, you know, was never done before. And you shouldn't expect the traditional fashion house to do it, because the business model that they currently have would never allow them to do so. And now the Fabricant's coming from, you know, the corner and just like taking that by storm and creating a whole different system around creator economy, which I personally love and I think is the future for where Web3 is headed. And then the third one, which is you know, a project that I'm not involved with, is basically 10KTF, right? So if you're familiar with Wagmi Sun, 10KTF is We Knew is a company where Beepo is involved as well. You know, and what I really appreciate from that project is the storytelling aspect of it. There is no better storytelling in Web3. And when I say Web3, don't get me wrong, I'm talking about NFTs and metaverse. I'm not talking about Web3 as a whole, because Web3 is like the new internet, so there's so much more to it. But, you know, within Web3, metaverse, and NFTs, there's nothing like it, right? It's insane what they're doing, and it's really incredible, and is a project that, you know, I'm early investor, early collector. I've been there since, you know, day one following it, and it's incredible. Every single day gets better. And if you want to see a benchmark of storytelling, how brands can tell better stories using this technology, like, that's the place to go, you know? So that's it. Those are my three.
Well, you got a couple of my favorites in there. I think the Fabricant what they're doing is absolutely amazing. They're changing. Yeah. I mean, they're just changing the rules. They're changing the rules and allowing everyone to be a creator. And I think it's going to be fantastic to see how other brands start to react to these kinds of new dynamics of aligning incentives and allowing creators to participate. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. But listen, I'll think we've got to drop some links in this to some of those projects, because they're fantastic for people to learn about and look at. So thank you. I know that we're starting to run short on time, but what I'm trying to do at the end of every one of these sessions is just ask three quick questions, kind of point and shoot, short answer questions. You tell me what you where we go. But let's start with question number one, and that is, realistically, I got to know you at first not through this face, but through a PFP of your alien. You know, what is that PFP? Is that the first NFT you ever bought? And what does that represent?
Yeah, it's not the first NFT I bought. So my first NFT was Land on Sandbox. So that was really like when I first seen it, I was like, yeah. Okay, I understand that people are going to want to build stuff on land like they do in real world. So that's going to be the first thing I'm going to do. So I bought something really close to the Bored Apes land, and now it's getting populated by Artifact and, you know, other brands. So it's exciting to see it, but I'm keeping it for a long term. So that was my first. My PFP is a meta hero. So Punk's Comic is where it's coming from. And Pixel Vault is the company that owns the IP and develops the IP, which, you know, a lot of people know it well because, one, the partnership they did with Adidas as well, but also because they've been in the space for about a year now, which is a lot of time if you think about it. So when I told you that I passed on Bored Apes is, you know, I had literally liquidity back then, which was coming from back my investment in cryptocurrencies. And then I passed on Bored Apes, and then I was like, oh, there's a moment I'm going to need to buy it. And then it just kept going up. And I've decided minting five Punk's Comic rather than buying a Bored Ape back then, because it was like, if I buy this Bored Ape with the little liquidity I have, I'm never going to sell it, and it's going to be the only thing I'm going to have. So I bought five Punk's Comic, and, you know, I don't even dare to start talking about the ecosystem that Pixel Vault has built, because we're going to need another 5 hours to do it, because it's incredible. But from those Punk's Comic, I end up getting airdropped minting pass, which was an entire new concept back then when they did it. And you could, you know, burn this mint pass to then get your PFP, which ended up being my alien, which is my current PFP. So Meta Heroes is, for me, in short, and that's my hope, and I'm biased because I'm invested in the project. But I would explain to someone that's new that is basically Marvel of Web3. They are building IP around, you know, superheroes, villains, and all of that, you know, comics and all of it. So I trust the team because I know them personally. Sean is, you know, a great builder, a guy that's been through so much, and he's still going forward. I've seen the investments the team is getting. Now they did a partnership with UFC as well. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. That's basically my PFP. Yeah.
All right. Next question. One prediction. Give us one thing that you think we're going to see happen over the next year.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the explosion of DAOs, decentralized organizations. People don't understand the significance of DAOs. DAOs are basically shifting and changing and giving a new way on which humans connect and organize themselves. And if you go back to like anthropology and understand human behavior at its core, connection through communities and the ways we organize ourselves is what changes the world every time. And DAOs are about to do it. And I'm so, so excited to see what's going to happen after that.
All right. Last question for those marketers out there who are looking for at how to get themselves into this space, how to take the first step. Do you have any advice that you would give? I know you've got your class. I know you've got all that, but anything that you can share is what are the first steps that they should take?
Yeah, the first step is do not invest your money. Don't come into this space by putting money down, because it's going to shift your mentality from learning to investing and speculating. And those things are absolutely different. Don't get me wrong. You can learn while investing, because that's what I've done, because that's my personality. I put my money where my mouth is. And then if I lose it, I lose it. But then I take that as a learning. But not everybody has the guts to do it, or not everybody has the stomach to do it, because, you know, people don't like losing money. Neither do I. But I'm comfortable with that because I see that as an investment on my self-knowledge, right? So don't come in with money first and investment and trying to see that from an investment perspective, because I think you're going to miss out on the beauty of it. You know, we are sitting right now in the mid-90s and the internet is just about to explode. And you are coming in trying to invest in companies rather than trying to see the opportunities on how that can, you know, change your life for you to do whatever you want with this technology, whether they're being hobbies or, you know, for your company or for your profession. And you're just thinking about like making a quick buck. So like that's what I'm saying, you know, come with the right mentality. Come with the right mentality on not trying to make a buck, but rather trying to learn. And then you're going to need to go horizontally to understand the technology. So blockchain, cryptocurrencies, tokenomics, DeFi, DAOs, NFTs, metaverse. So very important to go horizontal. But what is most important is to go really vertical when it comes to finding a specific niche. Otherwise, you're going to get overwhelmed. So if you're into fashion, understand the technology, what's happening within that industry based on the technology you just learned, and stick to that. If you're into sports or if you're into gaming, exactly the same. Don't try to like go horizontally on the use case, because it's extremely overwhelming. And that's going to just tell you, you know, oh, I don't got the time for it. I got a family. I got a business to run. I'm trying to, you know, climb the ladder, or I'm trying to do whatever you want to try. You were trying to do. You won't have time to it if you don't go niche. So, you know, it's very, very important to look into a specific area you want to go and double down there rather than going very broad.
All right. You heard it here. You heard it from Diego. Focus on learning, not on profit. I think this is great advice. It's the opposite of what so many people will say. I love it because it really is the right mentality. It is a mentality for growth. That is where we go. Diego, thank you so much. You have shared so much wisdom. I really appreciate it. As a kickoff, this, I couldn't ask for a better kickoff podcast. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, and good luck with the project.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.